every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it, because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion, their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Say.
Hello, friends. I'm Mike Airy. This is the Ron Say Show. We'll see about that. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Deep in the summer doldrums, I'm joined by producer Corey Marino. Corey, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Ron's out an assignment this week, so we're going to get into our archives. We're going to get with our friend Jackie Slater, Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, that's a nice. I do a little show with him with Vince Ferragamo called On Point.
Yeah, available wherever you find your podcast. Check it out on Spotify or on their website, onpointlive.net.
Yeah, right? On Point Live, and then on that on dot point dot live for Instagram.
There you go, folks. Check it out. We're gonna get into the NFL probably at the very end because it is opening weekend. But Corey, we gotta talk about what's going on with Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers.
The Clippers, the $28 million that he got for a no show for a fake company that was funded by the owner for $50 million. It's going deep.
So there's been some breaking news. Of course, we were talking about the story broke by Pablo Torre earlier in this week, where he had this like Watergate like investigation into this whole scenario about circumvention of the salary cap, which is a huge deal.
Oh, yeah.
Because it messes with the competitive balance. We know that Steve Ballmer bought the team a couple of years ago and wanted to make the team really competitive, spent a lot of money of his own money to build the stadium. And they assembled a super team back in 2022, James Harden, Paul George, and the aforementioned Kawhi Leonard. And everybody's wondering, like, why would Kawhi Leonard sign with the Clippers? What's going on this? Well, it turns out that allegedly, through this like various different accounting maneuvers based with this sponsorship of the company that like does clean energy, like a green clean energy brokering.
Like, yeah, brokering and like planting trees, places, and
carbon
stuff,
offsets. Like, the Red Sox were clients, various other.
Like, so they got a bunch of celebrities.
Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. And so, you know, Kawhi Leonard, who's notoriously quiet, who's like not your prototypical pitch man, he apparently was getting paid $28 million over 4 years, arranged allegedly by Steve Ballmer using this company as a slush fund to circumvent the salary cap. The NBA is now investigating, and this could be a serious deal. Maybe we could talk about like lengthy fines and heavy suspensions.
Well, the crazy thing is something similar happened a number of years ago.
Joe Smith.
With Joe Smith and the Timberwolves, and they got 5 first rounds taken away, some money taken away, and then the GM stepped down and the owner was suspended. But the crazy thing with the Clippers is they don't have first picks. The owner doesn't really care about money.
He's got all the money in the world.
He's got all the money in the
world.
He's
denied it, you know, in fairness.
Because they don't know yet. And I think the only way to do it is to do a playoff suspension for at least 5 years.
Wow. Ooh.
Because then you don't get free agents. You don't get the good ones. You only get money people. I think it's the right way.
Stick around, you guys. Deep into the archives with our friend, the Hall of Famer, former Ram, Jackie Slater. Stay with us.
This is baseball's Ron Say. Nowadays, it seems like nothing is built to last. Phones, appliances, cars, computers. But the new Michelin Defender 2 tire is designed to outlast. With a quiet and comfortable ride, you will have the confidence you need on the roads, whether they're wet or dry. So goodbye to the short-lived and hello to something that lasts. Get your set of Michelin Defender 2 tires at Hank's Tires, 19951 Ventura Boulevard in Woodland Hills. Call my buddy Steve Goldberg at 818-340-4200. That's 818-340-4200. Hank's Tires is also built to last. Hank opened Hank's Tires in 1953, and we are the oldest tire and auto repair shop in the San Fernando Valley with 100% customer satisfaction. Hank's is AAA approved for all of your auto repair needs. Call Hank's Tires at 818-340-4200 and tell them Ron Say sent you.
Hi, everyone. Gina Belich here with the Legal Help Center. And we have a special guest with us today, Super Bowl champ Vernon Davis. So, Vernon, tell all of our radio listeners who should call right now.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me join you here in the studio. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now and find out how much money you could potentially get.
Thanks, Vernon. You heard it, folks. If you've been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now and find out how much money you could potentially get. Call 800-745-9090. That's 800-745-9090. 800-745-9090. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Hey there, sports fans. Ron Say. Are you ready to score big with fresh, healthy eats? Well, our friends at Melissa's Produce have got you covered. Whether you're gearing up for the big game or just living that active lifestyle, Melissa's fresh produce delivers the winning nutrition you need. And here's the MVP move. Visit Melissa's.com today and use the promo code RONSAY to save 15% on your first order. Don't miss out on the home run deal. Fuel your passion for sports and good eats with Melissa's Produce. That's Melissa's.com, promo code RONSAY.
Indulge in the exquisite flavors of Harmony cheese, crafted with passion and precision in Athens, Wisconsin. Our signature golden age cheeses are a symphony of taste, from the tangy sweetness of cranberry and orange Abergele to the rich buttery smoothness of our aged Gloucester. Elevate your charcuterie board with our show-stopping Merlot cheddar, or savor the unique combination of flavors in our Portobello and Chive Abergele. Harmony cheese, rooted in Wisconsin tradition, crafted for discerning palates. Visit our cheese shop in Athens or shop online at harmonycheese.com.
They still call me the Penguin.
Okay, we have returned after the break. We'll see about that. And our special guest today, Jackie Slater, will be receiving a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is the proud partner of We'll See About That. Please use my VIP code RONSAY when checking out at melissas.com. It is a big pleasure for me to have as a guest today one of the real great Rams in their history. Jackie Slater played 20 years in the NFL. We had a game record of 259 games, most of any offensive lineman in NFL history at the time of retirement. Was a seven-time Pro Bowler, first team All-Pro a couple of times, and of course played in the Super Bowl with the Rams against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jackie, welcome to the show. Terrific to have you on here. What is going on in your world these days?
Well, first of all, Ron, let me just say that it is an honor to have the opportunity to visit with you. I see your pictures on the wall. When I come in there, and I remember I never played a down of baseball, but I do remember you when you were playing, and the excellence and the professionalism that you carried yourself. And when I was asked to be a guest on your show, I was just honored. So I want to get that out of the way first. But relative to what's keeping me busy, my friend and old quarterback at the Rams that took us to Super Bowl 14, he and I have been doing a podcast over the last couple of years called On Point Live with Vince Ferragamo and Jackie Slater. We have a lot of fun doing it, and we're meeting some of your guys, some of your producers up there, and working with those guys, Corey and all of them. They're doing a fantastic job getting our show rolling, and we're just having fun, kind of retired and enjoy just like everybody else, probably and watching baseball. You enjoy that. I enjoy watching football. It's the thing that I've been doing since I was 13 years old.
Well, you've been doing it very well, and you're also a member of the Pro Hall of Fame, and a young kid growing up in Mississippi. Who got you involved with playing Little League football, and eventually you went to Jackson State University, and I believe you played with Walter Payton. Is that not correct?
That is right. I got involved when I was 13 years old. I was 6 feet tall, and I weighed 245 pounds.
Oh, my God.
And the junior high school coach was trying to get me to come out for football in the seventh grade, but I didn't want any parts of it. And I went another year to the eighth grade, and I'd gotten bigger. And so all of my buddies were saying, oh, you're just afraid that those guys are going to whip your head out there. And I was. I didn't want any part of somebody whipping on my head. But I went out and I enjoyed it so much. I didn't have a lot of success, but I enjoyed it so much that I, next thing you know, I rolled into consecutive years playing and then getting an opportunity to go to college and get my education playing was all exciting. And then, boom, you get drafted by the Rams. It was just a whirlwind of events for a guy that really didn't want to play at first.
Well, you know, looking at your resume, it doesn't say you said you went to Jim Hill High School in Jackson, Mississippi. So were you kind of targeting, college, and did you have any aspect or expectations of going to a different school other than Jackson State University?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was born and raised right there in the city of Jackson, and I was in the public school system when they forced integration in the state of Mississippi, and I just had such a horrible time that first couple of years. Everybody did, all the students did. It wasn't a very harmonious time in our state.
Uh-huh.
And so when I looked at the opportunities to go to college, I was actually only being recruited by the SWAC schools. That was Grambling, Alcorn, Mississippi Valley State, where Jerry Rice went, and, of course, Jackson State and Texas Southern also. So I visited around those schools, and no one else, Alabama, none of those SEC schools, none of those guys ever even gave me a call. And I took advantage of the opportunities that were presented to me. I visited just about all of those schools, and then Jackson State, Walter Payton and the head coach, Bob Hill, at that time, came over to my home, and they talked to me about, Walter and myself being leaders of the team, and because he was just a year ahead of me. And I was a defensive lineman, so I thought that they were going to have me be on the leader on the defensive side and Walter on the offensive side. And then when I got there, they moved me to the offensive line to block for Walter. I wasn't too pleased with that because I fancied myself a pass rusher and a run stopper, not a blocker. So I thought of leaving, but I ended up staying and working with some really sharp veteran guys that taught me how to take a lot of pride in being an offensive lineman. And then next thing you know, I was blossoming over there at a position that I really didn't care for at first.
Well, I'm sure Walter Payton was very pleased that you decided to make the transition to offense, and you probably led the way down the field for him many times. But the number of schools that you mentioned, they were kind of like small schools back then, but I remember all those schools, very good programs coming out of those schools, very good quality, high quality, that was producing a lot of players.
Yeah, there were. There really were a lot of really good African-American athletes that were going to where they had the opportunities to play and to get their education. And it was just what we expected to do. And so had a lot of fun doing that, did get my degree and graduated from Jackson State in 4 years, and had a wonderful time with my wife there and all. And, coming to the Rams was it was a little bit awkward all over again because I had to get accustomed now to an integrated community with an integrated team. So it was a little bit uncomfortable, but, I found that most of the guys on the team at that time, they didn't care about anything but your contribution to them winning a Super Bowl and winning games. And so I ended up, fitting in quite well after a time, and then ended up making a lot of good friends that I've had all of these years.
Well, going back to what I remember, there was a lot of history and tradition with the Rams on both sides of the football, offensive and defensive line. You had some great
Correct.
Players to draw from, probably, I would imagine. Who were some of the guys on the line when you first broke in, and how did that go? How was that process?
Well, it was an interesting process because one of the things that I found out was that no veteran offensive lineman, no veteran in any position actually, is going to be too excited when they go and draft someone that plays their position, because at that point in time, you know, it's like saying, okay, well, maybe you're indispensable here, even though you're a veteran. When I got to the Rams, they had 13-year Pro Bowler Tom Mack. He's in the Hall of Fame now. He was playing left guard for them. The year before I got there, Charlie Cowan, who played 15 years at left tackle for the Rams, and Joe Cibilli, who was a guard for the Rams for 15 years, both those guys retired. And so the Rams had just drafted the combination of Michael Fanning, the first-round pick. They had three picks. Michael Fanning out of Notre Dame, a defensive tackle, mm-hmm. who was picked to replace Marilyn Olsen. And then Dennis Harrow was picked to replace Joe Cibilli. And Doug France was picked to replace Charlie Cowan. They were all three first-round picks. They had invested heavily in the offensive line. So I was a little nervous about actually making the team because of all that talent there. So I got to play a year with Marilyn Olsen. I got to learn a lot about line play from him. I was whipped up in practice almost daily by Fred Dreyer and Jack Youngblood. Fred Dreyer and Jack Youngblood, they were just smart, veteran defensive ends, and I just could not, you know, I couldn't get my mind wrapped around what I needed to do to beat those guys. So they schooled me, and I learned in practice with some of the best in the business at that time, some of the tricks of the trade that really made a difference as my career went on.
Yeah, well, I remember all those names, both at the time that you were breaking in and the ones who came in to take those plays. I remember all those names, all really great players. So, hey, we're going to be right back with Jackie Slater right after this message.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both airline and hotel with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call, because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC Rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra-high quality, ultra-reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Say. Okay, we are back with our Hall of Famer, Jackie Slater. And Jackie, when you first broke in, who were some of the leaders on that team, and how did that inspire you?
Well, I got to meet Charlie Calvin, and he had already retired, and he was just a gem of a guy, real solid a guy mentally, had real solid thought processes about playing offensive tackle in the National Football League, and he worked for the Rams for a year or two after he retired, and I got to visit with him often, and he shared a lot of his tricks with me, and implementing them was a different story, but he at least shared them with me. Tom Mack was an outstanding leader on our football team at that time, certainly with our offensive line and our offensive team. And then there was Marilyn Olsen. He was like the governor, actually. He was something else. He took me to the side a couple of times and gave me a couple of pointers here and there that made a world of difference in the way I thought about playing the game and growing as a player. And then there was, as I said, Jack Youngblood was, it seems like he was just always a leader on the team and, you know, just worked hard and made you work hard, made you earn your money every single day because that's who he was. And Freddie Dreyer, you know, Freddie, I love Freddie. He was always the guy that had plenty of things to say and was always very entertaining. And I just was amazed that he would be living in a Volkswagen van and driving around. You know? And it was no big deal. You know, he left work most days with no shirt on and a t-shirt tied around his waist. He was just an unbelievable personality that I got to be around. And Larry Brooks, and there were a few other guys, Lawrence McCutcheon. And then I was learning from James Shaq Harris, who was our quarterback at the time, and got exposed to Ron Jaworski. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were just the Rams were a veteran team when I came in 1976, and there were so many people, Cullen Bryant, Lawrence McCutcheon. There were so many guys, Ron Jesse, that were Bob Klein, guys who were just, you know, just outstanding. Jim Youngblood, I could go on and on talking about these guys. They were just outstanding leaders, outstanding men, and the type of guys that you would want any young professional football player to be exposed to.
Well, there was a team up in Northern California called the San Francisco 49ers, and they've always been on my radar since a very young kid. They were the closest team to the Seattle-Tacoma area, so I kind of adopted them as my favorite team. But what kind of a rivalry did you have with that franchise?
Well, I hate them with a passion. I can say that. I can say that honestly, and I can remember when a trip to San Francisco for the Rams was to go there and to decide which restaurant we were going to eat at the Wharf.
Very
because
good.
We always thumped the 49ers, always. And then a guy named Bill Walsh came.
Yeah.
And brought in a little fullback named Bill Ring. And he had this quarterback named Joe Montana. And all of a sudden, I can remember like it was yesterday, going to San Francisco and then if we would punt or kick a field goal or score a touchdown, you come out of the game, you sit down, they give you some water, you know, you get your pads straightened up, and then about that time, it was time to go back in because our defense was shutting them out. And then all of a sudden, these guys came, and they weren't scoring a lot of points, but they never gave the ball back to us. It seemed like we were sitting forever. They were just kind of like the West Coast offenses are now.
Yep.
They were purists. I mean, they systematically moved the ball down the field at their own pace with their own goals in mind, and that was to convert ever how many yards it was. It seemed like if they wanted to get 3 yards on the play, they had the perfect two or three plays just to get 3 yards. I mean, Bill Walsh was just dynamic that way, and never got to play much offensive football in San Francisco after he came, unfortunately. But they were just the thorn in my flesh and kept me from going to a few other, perhaps, Super Bowls had they not been in the way.
So what are the some of the other you played the Super Bowl against the Steelers, and give me your feelings about, you know, being in that game and playing against the Steelers and some of the players that represented their club.
Wow, I mean, well, it was my first year in the starting lineup as a regular starter. I've been put in at right tackle. And I was one of two players that played every single snap in every single game that particular year. And so we find ourselves in the playoffs, and Vince Ferragamo got hot. And, I mean, he was threading the needle all over the place in addition to us running the football with Wendell Tyler. But he was threading the needle all over the place. The next thing you know, we're in the Super Bowl. And I got to play against L.C. Greenwood.
Uh-oh.
I'm hoping I don't have to play against Mean Joe Green, because 4 years prior to that, I played in the College All-Star Game. That was when the defending Super Bowl champions played against the guys that were just drafted to go into the pros. It was called the College All-Star Game. It was held in Skokie, Illinois. And I remember, you know, playing against Joe Green in that game. And I remember, you know, I go up and boom, hit him in the knees, go up, boom, hit him in the shin. And he said, hey, man, he said, stay off of my legs. You're on my legs. Get off my legs. And I remember thinking to myself, whenever a defender starts talking to you, that means you got him right where you want him. So a little bit later in the game, I came up high, and he put his hands on my shoulder, and I went, boom. And I could just feel my shoulder pads bouncing off of his shins. And then I felt a tug on my shoulders, and I'm thinking, oh, I really got him now. He's helping me up. So I got to my knees, and then just as I got to my knees, Joe Green held me there, and he kneed me across my chin about five times. They had to pull the guy off of me. And I'm thinking, this guy could have broken my neck right there in a matter of seconds. And so to this day, when I see Joe Green in Canton at the Hall of Fame and everything, I put both hands together, and I bow my head, thanking him for not breaking my neck. But it was an outstanding. They were a veteran team when we played them. They had some guys that were long in the tooth and had been playing together for a long time. But man, they knew how to win. They knew how to turn it up in the big game. And when we would make a big play, you know, if you remember Super Bowl 14, with 11 minutes to go in that ball game, we had the lead. We had taken the lead and we had momentum. And then all of a sudden things just fell apart. And the things that caused things to fall apart was the play of the veteran ball players making key plays at just the right time for that team. And I always will remember that it was their experience that beat us in Super Bowl 40.
And that Super Bowl was at the Rose Bowl, right? So that was like a de facto home game for the Rams too?
Yes, it was. We weren't the home team, but there were a lot of blue and gold fans there. You could see it up there. And there was, 100,000 people there, I believe it was.
Yeah, what a beautiful sight that must have been, huh?
It was an unbelievable sight, but there were a lot of Steeler fans there as well.
Oh, yeah.
When they made plays, I mean, you could hear them. It was the biggest game that I'd ever played in my life. And I didn't play in a bigger game before or after that, but I just remember what a great feeling it was, and I always strived to get myself and my team back to that Super Bowl. Just never got back there.
Yeah, I hear you about that. Is that game the game that Lynn Swann made that catch?
Yes, absolutely. The game that Lynn Swann made the catch, and it is also the game that Vince Ferragamo threw the interception to Lambert, which prompts several of his teammates to say to him when they see him, instead of "Hi, Vince," they say, "Throw it to Lambert, Vince."
Oh, yeah. Well, I hope.
They just give him a hard time.
I do remember that Super Bowl game. It was a great game, and you guys were in the game and had an opportunity, but. Yeah, I think, you know, any time that you get to that, you know, that game of games.
Big game.
Yeah, you got to get there. And, you know, obviously you got to win, but you got to get there. And sometimes that experience helps you become, I think, you know, a better player with higher goals and greater expectations. And yeah, you lost, but you know what? I want to go back there and do that again. And and I think that is a driving point for a lot of guys that help you with this mentality that you have. You know, what are your expectations? We're going to the Super Bowl. I don't know where you're going, but we're going to the Super Bowl.
Right. You're gonna have that passion. Unfortunately for me, it was my first year starting all of the games, all of the regular season games, all of the playoff games, and playing every snap that year. And then to realize that the work, the hard work that I and the other guys that contributed to us getting to the Super Bowl, it was critical work. It was something to be remembered. And so from my fourth year until I retired, that was my motivation. This was where I wanted to be. This is where I wanted to get back to. This is what I desire for my teammates. And there was no other goal for me. I practiced that way. I sat in my meetings and I focused that way. Everything was bent in that direction to get that done. And it was simply because the experience, like you said, Ron, the experience of having gone and done that, and just to have seen, you know, how uplifting it was to be there, and how even the wives enjoyed it, and all of that. But it required a lot of hard work, and fortunately, I didn't mind doing the hard work, and I like to think that my effort would have warranted us going back to a couple of those and winning them. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case.
Well, you certainly did a great job, Jackie, and we're going to talk more about that right after we take a break. We'll see about that. Stay tuned.
That leaf pile is 100 feet tall. Your dad can't handle this.
Not without the right equipment.
Yard work piling up? Gear up for fall with John Deere. Get $750 off select mowers, $2,000 off select Gator UVs, and $3,000 off select compact tractors.
Did I hear your dad got a John Deere?
Yep, bad day to be a leaf pile.
Gear up for fall at an authorized John Deere dealer, now through September 30th. Learn more at johndeere.com/gearupforfall.
Let's go! You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Have you been daydreaming about losing weight for years? Do you just yo-yo back and forth? At Innovative Wellness Center, we have a holistic weight loss program that allows you to lose up to 20 pounds in 30 days. People are losing weight like crazy and keeping it off. It can be done from anywhere in the United States. Go to our website at www.innovativewellness.center and schedule your complimentary consultation today.
This sandwich, it's a complete game changer. Hello, this is Mike, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A Pretzel Cheddar Club is that juicy chicken with that toasty pretzel bun. That bun, it's crispy, cozy, just amazing. With the pretzel bun, the Dijon mustard, and the chicken, it makes that sweet, savory kind of combination. It's everything that you love about food rolled into one. It looks phenomenal. It tastes great. It's delicious.
Order the Pretzel Cheddar Club with Cherry Berry and Sprite for a limited time on the Chick-fil-A app. Real guests paid for their testimonial.
Are you a fan of paranormal radio? Bigfoot, UFOs, ghosts, hauntings, cryptids, true crime? After Dark Radio with Brian Alvarez airs live on Sports Byline every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, talking all manner of the strange and unusual. From the latest news of the weird to interviews with the top names in the field, After Dark is your source for paranormal radio. Check it out, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, every Wednesday, live on Sports Byline USA.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. founder Mark Gus Scott, chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
The fans. And we are back. We'll see about that with the legend Ron Say. I am Mike Gary, and this week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial, 1967, the 12-man Veterans Committee, chaired by former baseball commissioner Ford Frick, announces its selection of the late catcher and baseball executive Branch Rickey, best known for integrating MLB as the Dodgers president and GM in 1947, of course, bringing in the great Jackie Robinson.
Yes, and what a memorable time that was. And, of course, my relationship with that, I know pretty much the history, and Branch Rickey is one of those guys that made it happen. All right, we're back with Jackie Slater. And, Jackie, you didn't miss too many snaps in your career, and I kind of curious about how your off-season training was. And I know that you spoke off-camera here a little bit about the terrific coaches that you had. So let's talk a little bit about that, and then I want to get to the Ram playoff game after that.
Okay, well, my off seasons were, you know, my first few years in pro football, I had just gotten married, and I had graduated from college, and I had my degree in education. And so we went back to Mississippi those first 3 years when I wasn't playing, and I substitute taught, and I made connections with people in the school system so that I could possibly, you know, get a job. Didn't know how long I was going to play. I'm sitting on the bench for 3 years. And in my fourth year, I started every snap. And as I went back to try to substitute teach and get my feet on the ground there, it dawned on me that my body was beat to pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was just beat to pieces. And I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm not going to be able to work going to substitute teach and do that. I'm going to have to spend some more time in the weight room and lifting weights and running and staying in shape. And that's exactly what I did because I'm thinking there's no way that this is going to last long. So I got to keep my connections and my contacts here with the public school system here where I'm hoping to, you know, be a PE teacher and a coach when I get done, because we're feeling the way I feel right now. This is not going to, I don't know how much longer this can last. Well, I went and hired people to train me and started lifting the weights and doing the extra running and everything. And then next thing you know, I wasn't getting as beat up during the seasons. And the off seasons, you know, just told me to keep doing what I was doing because I was feeling better and better as the time went along. As I knew more about what I was doing, I wasn't making the same rookie mistakes. And all of a sudden, I became a veteran. And, you know, Ron, as a veteran, there are certain things that you can do and you can get away with that some other guys perhaps won't be able to do and get away with. And
yeah. And
you still have, you know, the kind of success that the coaches want you to have. And so I started operating in that realm, you know, after a couple of years in the starting lineup. And if, from that point on, the toughest thing for me was making myself go out to practice every day and practice the way I saw Jack Youngblood and Fred Dreyer do it and Larry Brooks, and which was, these guys practice hard. And that was the challenge. I felt like if I practiced the way that I wanted to play, then I would have an opportunity to be successful, you know, playing the game. And that's exactly what happened. I wasn't always on everybody's best friend list in practice, but, you know, I always, you know, they always worked hard. And, you know, it was interesting many times that the guys that I practiced in front of were playing their very best football. And it was because we didn't mess around in practice. We got after each other, and it really made a difference for both of us.
And you guys were, how many days a week, Jackie, back then were you practicing in pads?
Well, that's a great question. When you consider the fact that the NFL today, it has been legislated by the Players Association that once you break training camp in the National Football League, you can only put pads on 10 days for the remainder of the season.
What?
10 days you can put pads on for the remainder of an NFL season after you break training camp.
So this is a current rule?
That's in place today.
I had no idea.
And when we would break camp, we would have shorts. we would come out on Wednesdays and get after it, on Thursdays get after it, and on Fridays we come out and we have shorts and shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Shorts and shoulder pads, yeah. Not full pads like yeah. we did on Wednesday and Thursday. So
wow.
it's totally different. And the other thing, too, is nowadays most of these coaches, they don't play these guys in the preseason game.
Yes.
The guys that they play in the preseason games are the guys that's going to be on the practice squad during the regular season. Yeah. And why is that? And I can understand it. You play a guy, if you pay a guy $15 million a year to play a certain position for you, and your salary cap says you can only spend up to this much, and he's accounting for the $15 million of that cap, and you're up to the end of that cap. Now, if he gets hurt, you can't go out and buy a comparable talent with comparable experience for $15 million because you don't have it to spend. So now you got to go out and spend $300,000 for some guy that, you know, just been hanging on that might not be able to deliver at that same level.
You know, the Rams for the past couple of years, have gotten off to slow starts, and they did that same thing this year. I think they started out 1-4 and then finished with a flurry. And this last game that they just got done playing gave it a great effort down to, you know, the last play, almost pulled out a miraculous effort to win this game, but it fell a little bit short. How do you analyze that game that they just played?
Well, I mean, I think you just crystallized everything that you and me and the fans saw. Over the last 2 years, the Rams, you're right, they were 1-4, 1-3 or something like that, and they had to overcome that, get some prominence at the end of the season, certainly this year, to get into the playoffs. But one of the things that you have to remember and you have to credit the Rams and its leadership for, particularly its coaching staff and Sean McVay, is that this year, in this year alone, he had the second youngest team in all of pro football. And last year, you know, many of the guys that were still young this year and playing, making major contributions, were rookies last year. So, you know, Jared Verse is up for the, you know, defensive rookie of the year, and so is his teammate, Fish. So it says a lot about growing the young guys. And I can remember back, you know, that first 2 or 3 weeks, as a pro, right now it's probably not as physically demanding on the young guys as it was for us, but it's just something about walking into a locker room and there's Aaron Donald sitting over there.
Yeah.
And you walk into a locker room and there's Cooper Kupp sitting right over there. And there's Matthew Stafford sitting over there and Rob Havenstein over there. It's just something about walking into a locker room as a rookie and realizing these people are there. And they're being paid well. They've been there for years and years. They've played in Super Bowls. There's something about being in that environment that can make a young guy feel like, you know, he maybe doesn't stack up. And he has to figure that out as the year goes along. And then they're looking at the year, as the year goes along, they're looking at that wall, that 10-game wall that they have dealt with for the last 4 years. They've never played beyond 10 games.
Correct.
Now the youngsters are playing in the preseason games, and they got to get through that. And then now the regular season game at 10 games, you're not even finished. So to grow these young guys the way they've been grown over the last 2 years and to see them get better and to see the contributions that they made, to me, it was a testament to really good coaching.
All right, gentlemen, we're rounding things out here. Thanks so much to the great Jackie Slater. Let's go through these games this weekend. It's Championship Sunday. We have two great games. We have the Commanders, who, Ron, I believe I picked last week. Thank
yes, you.
I
did.
Believe
congratulations.
I had that. Thank you very much. They're playing the Eagles. Who do we like? Commanders at Eagles.
Well, you know, to think that that Jaden Daniels is a rookie, and that he is in his first playoff game, I mean, in a first championship game, that he would melt under the pressure, I think is something that we should really reconsider. Because when I was Jalen's age, I was in my fourth year in the pros. When Vince Ferragamo was Jalen's age, he was in his third year in the pros. Jaden Daniels, in my opinion, is not a rookie. This man has played, he's a Heisman Trophy winner. He probably played 50 games at the college level at two or three different programs.
Right.
And you don't have that kind of success continually getting better, winning the Heisman last year, unless you know what you're doing. Now, I understand he has one of these different high-tech gadget things that he wears that allows him to see everything like at 1.7 per speed faster than what's normal. So he's doing some things to help him process better and all of that. But nonetheless, the guy's not a rookie, and he's playing like a veteran. And remember, he beat Philadelphia early in the season, so I'm going to go with Washington.
All right.
The only thing that makes me a little bit skeptical is that they lost their right guard. Big kid from the University of Texas. He was a tackle. They moved in. His name is Sam Cosmi.
Yeah.
And you know that as I found out whether or not he is replaced by proper personnel, because that's a critical position, right guard.
Yeah.
Then I might change my mind between now and then. I've got to look and see. But my initial feelings are that, you know, the Washington Commanders are going to be very difficult to beat.
Okay. Let me just give you my shot on this. I'm going to go the other route. I'm going to go with Philadelphia primarily because I think they have a running game that Washington's not going to be able to stop. They have a 35-65 pass ratio with run. If they control the line of scrimmage and eat the clock and score, I think Philadelphia wins.
Okay, last but not least, we have the game that everybody wants to see. We have the Bills, the Buffalo Bills, versus the Chiefs, and quite possibly versus the NFL officials. Who you guys like?
Go ahead, Jackie.
Well, I mean, it's hard for me to pick against Andy Reid and his quarterback. They've just been excellent in everything they've done. And I don't know that there's a team that I have seen since some of the very, very good Bill Belichick coach teams where they handle all the situations that can come up to perfection. They're situational football team that's coached very well in all situations. There won't be a situation that will occur with Andy Reid's team that they wouldn't have covered and have answers for. So it's because of that that I pick Kansas City.
Yeah, well, I can't really argue with anything that you had to say. And, you know, they're the two-time defending champions. They won 15 games or 14 games during the regular season. They've got Patrick Mahomes. They got this winning attitude. They've got the coach that goes along with it. But for some reason, I just feel like it's Buffalo's turn. You know, they've played close games, and you've got Josh Allen, who had a much better year than Patrick Mahomes did. I think it's their turn, and maybe Jim Kelly would like to be in that situation to win a Super Bowl, but I don't know. Obviously, I think that it's going to be a Kansas City favored game, but I think Buffalo wins this game. That's my shot.
You and I are on the opposite end of the poll right there, and I'm inclined to agree with you about Philadelphia. I just got to find out what they're going to do with their offensive line, because make no mistake about it. I don't think Philadelphia comes close to losing games that they've come close to losing if they consistently give the football off to the big back. I just love the big back. I think that he reminds me of Eric Dickerson probably more than anybody I've ever seen. And if you give him the ball enough, it's going to be hard for people to beat you.
Yeah, for sure. All right, there you have it. Jackie, thanks so much for joining us and your expertise on the up-and-coming games. Good luck to you in the future, and I hope to see you at one of those, the Rams facilities, you know, right in my backyard now. So maybe I'll bump
in. Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah, I'm out in Woodland Hills. So, I'm sure that this next year when they get that facility finished up, it's probably going to be a great attraction for the local fans.
Well, I'm sure it will be. Sure will be. Okay,
all right,
guys.
There you have it, Jackie Slater. Thank you so much, Jackie. All right, that's it with Jackie Slater, a Hall of Famer for the day. Thank you so much, and we'll be right back. We'll see about that right after this.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property, and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks to Jackie Slater for appearing on the show. Thanks to Corey Marino. I'm Mike Gary. Ron Say out on assignment. We'll see about that. The Ron Say Show. Check out the ronsayshow.com. Check out Ron on Instagram, The Real Ron Say. Also on Facebook, Ron Say. Really appreciate it. And opening weekend for the NFL, Corey. How do you feel about it?
I'm excited. I love football. It's my one true love in sports. And it's just, it's finally here. We finally get to, it. Usually the first couple weeks are a little sloppy, but it's still football.
We are seeing an opening game to take place in Brazil.
Yeah, so Friday, the Chiefs versus the Chargers in Brazil. And hopefully it goes better because they had a game last year in Brazil in the beginning of the year. And the field was horrible and all the players complained. And it was a rough sighting. But these are two premier teams in the AFC. And hopefully it's a good game and good field conditions.
Eagles versus Cowboys.
Eagles versus Cowboys. Cowboys have no defense now that they traded Parsons. I think the Eagles are going to hand them their first loss and very handily.
Troy Aikman spoke about the Micah Parsons trade. And he says in so many words, I'm paraphrasing here, that the Cowboys and Jerry Jones in particular are not necessarily interested in winning. They're more interested about being a soap opera. You agree or not?
Oh, 100% agree. And Jackie actually said that he doesn't care about the amount, the 100,000 fans that go into the stadium to watch the game than the products, the 100 million fans that they reach just by hearing the Cowboy name.
Yeah.
And so it's not about winning with them. It's just he's going to make money and then have his name in as long as he is alive for however long that is. And we'll see.
Can you think of a franchise in football or in any professional sports that has the kind of prestige, the premier team in the NFL, probably worth the most money, not being competitive for so long? 30 years we're talking about here.
Yeah, 30 years. I can't really think of one. There's a couple teams like, no, the Steelers won a bunch, but like after the 80s and 90s, they just, it's kind of this old style where they're not doing anything new. And like the owners aren't really cash rich, so they can't give these guaranteed contracts. And with Jerry, he's an old timer contract man, so he wanted to look in the eye. He didn't even want the agent there.
Jerry's son like also pulls a lot of strings too. So do you think there's tension between the son and the father?
I think so, but he knows he has no control until until Jerry's out of Jerry's, the picture.
Yeah, you know, somewhere
long,
else.
Long gone.
Real fast, your Super Bowl prediction.
Ooh, I'm going to do just be a homer a little bit. It'll be Broncos, Eagles, Broncos win.
I like it. I like it a lot. All right, there you have it, folks. Corey Marino, I'm Mike Gary. For Ron Say on assignment, he'll be back next week. Thank you so much. We'll see about that, the Ron Say Show. Make sure to check out theronsayshow.com.